go to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter number 9. And in your pew Bible, that's page 1139. In your Bible, there are several appearances of Jesus Christ. I've got a chart up here I'm going to bring up. And most of the appearances of Christ are were prophesied in the Old Testament. For example, Christ appeared on the earth, was born in Bethlehem, lived 33 years. That was prophesied in the Old Testament that that would happen, that he would make that appearance. Then Christ died on the cross, rose from the dead, and then for 40 days, we have many post-resurrection appearances of Jesus Christ in his resurrection body. That was prophesied in the Old Testament that that would happen. And then you've got an appearance over here where Christ is going to come back down to this earth and he's going to reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's been prophesied for thousands of years that one day he will return, he will appear, he will do that. In Acts chapter 9, which is where you have your Bible opened up to right now, Christ makes an unprophesied surprise appearance. He makes a surprise appearance. It was not prophesied. It was not foretold. It was totally unexpected. We all live in Florida, and all of our relatives love to come see us in Florida, don't they? You ever have anybody come and make a surprise appearance to your house? Isn't that great? Did you know Christ made a surprise, unprophesied appearance? He appeared in Acts chapter 9 to a man by the name of Saul of Tarsus. One of the most significant events in your Bible that you hold in your lap is the salvation and the conversion of this man, Saul of Tarsus. Better known to us, of course, as the Apostle Paul. Saul was his Jewish name. Paul was his Roman name. You say, Pastor Dan, why do you say that that's one of the most significant events in the Bible? Well, I want you to consider a few facts. Saul's conversion to Jesus Christ, his salvation, is more fully described and more often referred to than any other conversion in your Bible. There is no other person's salvation experience that's more referred to than Paul. Not only that, listen to this. Paul's salvation that we're going to study in Acts 9, it's more fully described and referred to than any other personal experience in the Bible other than the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Virtually three entire chapters in the book of Acts are taken up with the account of Paul's salvation. Acts 9, Acts 22, and Acts 26. So aware was Paul himself of the significance of his conversion that he repeatedly refers to it in the 13 books of the New Testament that he wrote. You've got 27 books in the New Testament. Paul wrote 13 of them. This man that we're going to study, Saul of Tarsus. So when I say that this is one of the most significant events in your Bible, it is. It's a turning point. I wonder how many of you in here, how many of you did things that you're not proud of before you came to know Jesus Christ? I got to do that. How about you? Yeah. And you know, Paul was the same way. Saul of Tarsus, Paul. In your handout it says, Paul was a blaspheming Christ rejecter on his way to Damascus to arrest believers. And then on the road to Damascus, he has a face-to-face encounter with the risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul's going along, walking that road, and he is the chief enemy of Jesus Christ. He's the ringleader in the rebellion in the Jewish nation against Christ. He's the ringleader. But that day, he became a believer in Jesus Christ. And let me tell you something, he was a changed man. And in your handout it says, Paul stands as an example of the fact that no person is beyond saving. Amen? No person is beyond saving and changing. No person. I wonder if there are some folks in here under the sound of my voice, and you are an unlikely candidate to be saved and sitting in church today. You know what I'm talking about then. You know what I'm talking about. You say, oh, you say nobody's beyond saving. But you don't know my Uncle Othar. He's mean. He's ornery. He doesn't even believe in God. I want you to know, if God can save and change Paul, He can save and change Uncle Othar. But you don't know my boss at work. Paul is blaspheming Christ at the beginning of this chapter. And you know what he's doing by the end of the chapter? He's boldly preaching Christ to anybody who will listen. Here in Acts 9, we have a record of what happened. How it happened. What was said. In this chapter, we see Saul of Tarsus, and he recognized and he accepted several truths about Jesus Christ that either he had not understood or had not accepted previously. He came face to face with reality. Reality in this chapter. Christ makes this unprophesied appearance to Saul of Tarsus, his chief enemy. Christ can save anybody, but every person must accept the truth about Jesus Christ. If a person is to be saved, and Christ can save anybody, they've got to accept the truth about Jesus Christ and who He is. What did Paul learn about Christ that day? What was it that caused Paul to trust Christ? What was it that caused Paul, Saul of Tarsus, to have his life so radically changed that day? What happened? Paul learned and recognized and accepted several truths about Christ. I want to give you two this morning. Next week we'll look at a couple more. Number one, first of all, Paul learned that Jesus Christ is light. He learned that day on the road to Damascus that Jesus Christ is what? Light. Would you look with me at verse 1? Everybody look down at verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, the Christian way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Now, I want you to look at verse 1 again. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples. Oh, that little word, yet. How much blasphemy and bloodshed is contained in that little word, yet. When it says that he yet breathed out threatenings and slaughter, that's a reference to the time period of Acts chapter 8 when Paul was doing something. Look at chapter 8. Flip back one chapter. Look at chapter 8 and look what Saul was doing in verse 3. Look what Saul of Tarsus was doing in verse 3. Everybody knows now I'm just going back one chapter, right? I'm still hearing pages turn. Just one page. As for Saul, he made what? Havoc of the church. Entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Now go over to chapter 9 again, verse 1. And Saul yet breathing out threatenings. What the Bible is saying here is that Paul is on the road to Damascus, and he's doing exactly what he was doing in chapter 8. He is persecuting and he's breathing out slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. Look at the screen behind me. Galatians 1:13. Paul, in his own words, after he was saved, he said about his previous life before Christ, "You've heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it." Verse 3, go back to chapter 9, verse 3, and let's see what happens. He's on his way now to Damascus. Verse 3, "And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven." He's on that road, and all of a sudden this light shines, and it isn't a normal light, but it is a light from heaven. Wow. A light from heaven shines. Acts 22:6 calls it a great light. Acts 22:11 calls it a glorious light. Acts 26:13 says that it was a light that was brighter than the sun at full strength. Brighter than the sun. Now here in Florida, we know all about the sun at full strength, don't we? Think ahead to July and August. And the sun is at full strength, and when it is, you can't look into it without it blinding you. And that's why we wear sunglasses. And that's why we wear sunblock. The Bible says that this bright light shone from heaven on Paul, and it was brighter than the sun at full strength. As you read on, if you've got a Bible where the words of Jesus are in red, let me ask you a question. Who's talking in verse 4? Jesus. Who's talking in verse 5? Jesus. Who's talking to Paul in verse 6? Jesus. Do you know who that light was that shined on Saul of Tarsus? Jesus. Over and over again, Jesus declared himself to be the light of the world. Look with me in your handout, John 12:46. Jesus said, "I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." Jesus told Israel over and over again, "I am the light." He proclaimed, "I am the light." Did you know in the Gospel of John alone, there are 24 references to the word light, and every one is a reference to Jesus Christ? Now, you understand that Paul, Saul of Tarsus, he did not believe this about Christ. He didn't believe Christ was light. Paul thought that his self-righteous religion was light. Do you understand that as Paul is down here and he's walking that road to Damascus, he thinks that he is walking in light. He thinks, "I am walking in light. I've got my religion." And the Bible says that Paul excelled in the Jews' religion above measure, above his equals. I mean, this man, Saul of Tarsus, thought he was in the light. Very religious. But in your handout, it says Paul was religious but lost, groping in darkness. He was religious but lost, groping in darkness. And then all of a sudden he realizes, wait a minute, Jesus is light. There are a lot of people that think they're in the light because of their religion. They think that they're in the light because of a religious ceremony that they went through. They think they're in the light because of a religious ritual that was done to them as a baby. They think they're in the light because they've gone through religious classes and graduated those classes. And they think, well, I'm in the light. But I want to submit to you this morning on the authority here of God's Word in Acts chapter 9. That folks, listen, until you know Jesus Christ in a personal way, you are not in light, you are in darkness. You must have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. In your handout, it says, without Christ, you are in darkness. You are in darkness. If you would, turn your handout over. And in John 8:12, Jesus spake unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Shall have the light of light. I want you to think with me for a moment. I want you to just use your imagination. And I want you to imagine this man, Saul of Tarsus. And I mean, he's walking that road to Damascus. And he is tramping ahead. He's got permission now to go and jail Christians and slaughter them. And he's walking that road. And he's walking in the physical light of the sun, S-U-N. But inwardly, he's in spiritual darkness. Total darkness inwardly, spiritually. Boom! This light shines. He has a face-to-face encounter with Jesus Christ. The Bible says that when he got up, he was blind. He could not see for 3 days. He gets up and he has to be led by the hand into Damascus. Oh, but I submit to you, now he is walking in physical darkness, but he's walking in the light of the sun, S-O-N, Jesus Christ. He's walking in the light of the sun. Light is now pulsating in his inner being. Maybe you're here today and you feel like you're stumbling through life in darkness. Maybe today you're here and you feel like, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to turn. I don't know what to do. You're here and you say, man, I feel like I'm just in darkness. That's a bad feeling. That's a terrible feeling. There's no worse. Have you ever been in a room that was totally dark? That's not a good feeling, is it? Especially when you're in a strange place and there's no light. I mean, if the light goes out at our house, we've lived in the same house 18 years, and I still manage to kill myself when the lights are off. I know where everything is. We've lived there 18 years, but I still kill myself. But when you're in a strange place, and some of you like, that's me. I feel like I'm in a strange place in my life. I've never been where I'm at right now. And I feel like, Pastor Dan, I feel like I'm in darkness. Can I submit to you, come to Jesus Christ. He will give you light to walk through this life. He'll give you light, spiritual light, an inner light that will light up your heart and your soul. In your handout is a couple of verses that Paul later wrote, this man who got saved this day. And he says to these believers in Ephesus, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee," say it with me, "light." Christ shall give thee light. Christ will give you light. That day on the road to Damascus, Paul is walking in the light of the sun. Boom! He goes down. He's got inner darkness. And after this encounter with Christ, he gets up. He's now physically in darkness, but he's got the light of Christ living in his soul. Number two, the second thing I want you to see that Paul learned that day when he got saved, he learned that Jesus is all powerful. Jesus is all powerful. What's the first thing he learned? Say it with me. He learned that Jesus Christ is what? Light. Number two, he learned that Jesus Christ is all powerful. Notice, go back to our text. I want to show you what happens next after this great light shines. Look at verse 4. It says here, "And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. Paul is on his way to Damascus. He's got his entourage of tough guys with him. They're going to go in jail and beat Christians. And all of a sudden, this bright light shines and boom! He's thrust to the ground. The Bible said that he was trembling and astonished. The Bible says that these tough guys with him stood speechless. The Bible says in Acts 22:9, they were all afraid. Can I remind you that these guys were not a bunch of sissies? They were not a bunch of pansies. These were mean, tough, cruel, brutal men in the business of torturing, imprisoning, and killing people. I don't know what they look like, but I would think maybe they look something like that. What do you think, huh? It's just what I envision these guys, you know? You know, guys with no neck. You know, their head just sits on their shoulder and there's no neck. And they're walking, you know. No neck. Yeah, yeah. And they're walking along that road to Damascus, tough guys. They're fixing to go. They are the religious Gestapo. They are mean dudes. Yet these guys are stopped in their tracks, thrown to the ground, trembling and speechless. Paul's the ringleader. He's the top tough dude. He's got his letters, you know. He's got these letters that he's got from the high priest, the top of the religious echelon. He's got letters of authority from the top guy in his religion that gives him the right and the permission to now go to Damascus and to slaughter, to imprison Christians. So now he's going along and he feels he's justified in his violence and his rage against Christians. He's thinking, I've got the authority. I've got the power. And he's walking along that road to Damascus, and he's full of himself. And he's arrogantly walking down that road, I mean, just full of himself, and thinking he's big stuff. He's got his letters of authority, and all of a sudden he's walking up. Boom, boom. You're great. You know that? You are great. There's only one like Steve Houghton, let me tell you. He is thrown to the ground. You guys got the picture, right? The 11 o'clock crowd misses all of this. He's thrown to the ground and blinded. I mean, it was lights out. Lights out. On this guy. He's blinded from this glorious light. Falls to the earth. He's down there on the ground. And you know, we were at a football game recently. I was with the boys. And you ever seen a clown jump out of the stands and run on the field? And of course, that's illegal, you know, and the security's going to arrest him and he's going to spend the night in jail, you know. But this guy's running around on the field. He made a mistake of getting too close to the sideline where the football players were. And one of the football players with helmet pads and everything on went, and I mean lit the guy up. This guy has nothing on, of course, other than, you know, his shirt and his shorts. And I mean, he just, boom, he takes the guy down. And I mean, that guy was out. I didn't see the guy moving. And that's what happened to Paul. Paul's thinking he's hot stuff. And all of a sudden, he's thrown to the ground, blinded. He hears a voice. Paul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who art thou, Lord? Is this Jehovah God, the one I'm serving? See, he thought he was serving God. by doing all this? Is this the Lord God Jehovah? He quickly learned that the Lord God Jehovah and Jesus Christ are one and the same. Because when he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" the response was, "I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest." You know what he learned that day? He learned that Jesus Christ's words were true, that he said to the disciples after his resurrection, when he said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." After Paul experienced the power of Christ that day on that Damascus road, later on he would write a few things. I want you to look in your handout. He wrote in Romans 1, 3 and 4, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, declared to be the Son of God with what? Power. And then in 1 Corinthians 1, 24, I love this verse. Christ, say it with me, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. In Ephesians 1:21 in your handout, Christ is far above, Paul said, he's far above all principality and power and might and dominion. If you look up at the screen, Paul later wrote this, which in his times, talking about Christ, he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto. Boy, he learned about that, didn't he? Whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and what? Power everlasting. Jesus is all powerful. I don't know what you're going through today, but I'm going to tell you something. Jesus is light, and Jesus is all powerful. And here's the exciting part about it. It's at the bottom of your handout. I'm going to give you this statement. If Jesus is your Savior today, if you know Him, that light and that power that we just got done talking about, that literally took Paul, threw him to the ground, that light, that power dwells in you. Would you say that we have an all-powerful Savior, church? Now, if you're not saved, what should you do today? Boy, you need to get saved. You need to come to Jesus. He's light. He's power. You need to come to Jesus. Next week, we'll finish this. And we're going to do part two of Jesus offering grace to His enemies. With our heads bowed, with our eyes closed.